And the next couple of years was the hardest in my life ever. And I went through many, many situations where I was just so scared, and all that stress just completely destroyed my health. Yeah. And it was, you know, it's really hard to hit the bottom when you've been on its top.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. Hello and welcome to the program. If you are new to the podcast, thanks for listening. It's nice to have you here. So Life, Passion and Business began as a quest to explore the big questions, the big life questions. And part of that journey has been to bring forward tools and solutions to help you do the same. Now, one of the challenges I hear in my work and I see in my community is the need to get stuff done and the resistance to make things happen. And that is why I offer focus coaching. Now, these are in blocks of 5 20-minute sessions, and they're designed to get you focused and moving. So there are plenty of slots available at the moment, so check out the links at the bottom of the homepage at lifepassionandbusiness.com. Now, focus coaching is something that I do with my marketing clients, and it's a service I enjoy offering via the podcast, but it may go at some point, so check it out while you can. Then the next bit of news, there is a virtual event happening on the 24th of August for 5 days called Reasons and Results. It's a 5-day free to attend event all about how to drop the excuses and take action. You see, the truth is there will be no rescue from COVID-19. It's up to us to make the best of it and to build the life we want. So again, check out the website for more details, or check out this podcast because there will be more details coming up soon. Now on with the show. My guest on this week started his first job at 18 and realized that working for someone was not a sustainable option. It was just too boring. So Patrick M. Powers began his first business at the age of 21, and he soon went out of business, losing both his home and most of his money. He had chosen to be a hands-on therapist at a time when that idea was new and pretty radical. Plus, he was shy and could not sell himself. What a change. Today, Patrick runs one of the largest online business networking organizations in Europe with 27,000 members, and he's become an expert in influence and marketing and copywriting. But of course, like all my guests, there is a story to be told. So how did he go from the shy, starving taxi driver in Copenhagen in Denmark to retiring in style in the Caribbean? But that would be jumping ahead. So the failure of his first business was down to lack of knowledge and confidence for selling, so he started learning the ropes. By 2003, he had landed himself into a network marketing business, and he hit the big time with a seriously growing company. Now, say what you like about network marketing, but if you use the system and do the work, it is possible to be successful. However, being shy was not going to work for Patrick. So he went on to develop his own system, and it worked. In fact, it worked so well that he built a team of over 10,000 people. That was it. He was made with an income set for life until he lost it all. Now stuck in the Dominican Republic and broke, his last cash was sitting in the safety deposit box in London, and he had to borrow money to fly back to the UK to get it. This is a story that leads us from success to despair to life-threatening illness to recovery. We touch on how to choose a good network marketing company. We touch on meditation, presence, NLP and some other weird stuff. the problems of social media and the growth of narcissism, plus the power of face-to-face and online networking. Patrick Powers has a fascinating story. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I did. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. I am delighted today to be with Patrick Powers, and he is an influence and marketing expert. So we're going to have to unpack that one, of course, as we always do. So this is Life, Passion and Business. Thank you for being with me today, Patrick.
It's awesome to be here, Paul.
That's brilliant. Look, tell me, as I said, this is all about passion. This is about the story of your passion and how that has come into your life. So where did it all start for you? Where are you now, and how did you get there?
It all started with an incredible, painful emotion of boredom, right? Being trapped in a normal job, like just unbelievable boredom. And I said, well, that's got to be more to life. I have to start a business, you know, and do some more. So I can.
What age were you when you did that then?
When I started my first business, I was 21. The boredom set in like 5 minutes after I got my first job at 18, you know. So 21, started my first business, went bankrupt really quickly within a year, lost my house.
What were you doing?
Well, it was probably more than what I was not doing, but I started a business as a holistic practitioner.
Okay.
Working with both the psychological side of health and the physical, treating sports injuries, using deep tissue massage, and then NLP and various different types of psychotherapies.
That's a nice combination. But I mean, judging by the fact that I am assuming we're of a similar age, that's actually quite radical for the time.
It was really, I mean, I was before my time. It was before it became trendy.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And everybody thought I was crazy and part of a cult, especially my family.
Yeah, because NLP didn't really hit the scenes until probably the 2000s. And that would have been well before then, I would imagine. Sorry about that.
But... Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, this is, I'm 53. Three in a couple of months. So this is 32 years ago.
Wow. That was early. Yeah. Okay. So that would have been a hard sell, that kind of business in that time. I would have thought.
Well, I mean, there is always actually in terms of especially the physical side of the treatments. There was quite a good need for it, and it was I think in Denmark we're a bit ahead of the curve with stuff like that.
You weren't in the UK, were you? You were in Denmark.
Yeah, I was in Denmark.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I just failed really quickly because I was incredibly shy and I had no communication skills to talk about. And, you know, my sales and marketing skills was pretty horrible as well. Mm-hmm. So I thought it all had to do with a good idea. And, you know, I attended these seminars and my training programs to become a practitioner. I thought, this is amazing. What a difference this makes to people. This is an incredible idea. And I just thought, okay, well, it's a great idea. There's going to be a great need for it. But
as they say, if only I can build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to my door. Everyone thinks that's what you need.
Just not true anymore. Just not true. Unless it is very, very, I mean, significantly better than something out there. Then it's true.
But I mean, people have got to know about it. And without telling people, you're never going to get anywhere.
Absolutely. 100%.
So obviously you went, this did not work well. So what happened next?
Nope. So everything crashed and I was left to scratch my head and thought, well, what went wrong? And started to read a lot of books and then figured out, it has all to do with marketing, right? This business thing. So I started to study more about marketing and then became fascinated with it. And then I was so fascinated that I was practically studying it day and night. And I realized, like, oh my God, you know, my passion, my interest for psychology and personal development, marketing is actually all about psychology. It's just applied in a different way. So I found, wow, this is really, really amazing. And also figured out, well, there's lots better money in marketing because being a practitioner, you can't really scale. It's very hard to scale, right?
And you got one pair of hands, don't you? You got one pair of hands and you can work on one body at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, so I fell in love with marketing and started to study influence in marketing. And then in 2003, after many, many unsuccessful attempts to start other businesses, I finally had my breakthrough. And then it was a network marketing company. I'd reached a point in my life where I said, this is just not okay anymore. I mean, I was, when I say I was desperate, that's an understatement of the year. I was, I was, I was in so much emotional pain. I said, I cannot live like this anymore. And I changed, like literally just like that.
Can I get back, when you say you're in emotional pain, I mean, how are you looking after yourself? How are you funding yourself?
So I was in a job. Okay. What was I doing? Oh, I was at that point, I'd been a taxi driver for a few years, both full-time and part-time. But then I became a temp agent. And at that point in my life, I was working in a warehouse that sold furniture. Mm-hmm. So just moving furniture day and night. So I was just like, I was so desperate for change. And I said, this is it. Drew a line in the sand and said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm done with buying my own excuses, and I'm done with saying I'm not good enough and whatever. I'm just going to do it. And I did. And it was literally like flicking on a switch, like from one moment to the next. I was a sensation as a network marketing company. Business grew really rapidly within 3 months, I think was it February, March. Actually, within almost 2 months, 2.5 months, I actually quit my job. Went back 6 months later, did a little bit of part-time work, and that was literally like for a week, and then that's the rest is history.
So that's 2003.
Yeah.
And that meant network marketing, although it had been around, I get the sense that the early 2000s was quite a big time for network marketing. You know, I was involved in a couple of companies that sort of time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been growing steadily for the last, since the beginning of the 80s. And the 80s was really the golden years.
Yeah.
Because there was the advent of the computer that managed, you know, enabled them to manage the commission payouts.
That must be Amway, wasn't it, in the 80s?
The big ones was Herbalife and Nu Skin in the 80s.
Right.
But there were many that completely blew up in the 80s. So since then, since the 80s was over, that was the golden time. Since then, it's been growing steadily almost every year.
So what business, which one were you in at the time?
So that was a company called Manatech, and they do supplements, very specialized ones called glyconutrients. That's a specialty. And I built a team of 4,500 people in a year, retired. They became very, very lazy. That team continued to grow to 10,000.
Wow.
That's started to...
Team.
Yeah, it was.
So what was the, I mean, in network marketing, it tends to be about use the system. Is that what you did, or did you do something different?
Yeah, I mean, it is use the system. However, the system that I was handed by my uplines just wasn't good enough. So I developed my own system, and it worked unbelievably well. So, and I think it was a combination of that. I was so shy of people that I had to develop something that just worked better. Because I was just like afraid of going out and talking to so many people.
Yeah, that's the thing about network marketing. I mean, that's why I don't agree with it a lot, because I always think, you know, people get signed up, the gullible get signed up into network marketing thinking it will change their life. And it doesn't, because it's got to change the person.
Absolutely.
Because if you're quiet, as you say, quiet, shy type, you're not going to call all your friends and family and ask them to try your products out.
Sure. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, there are a lot of gullible people that go into network marketing, and you know, my big downside is that there are so many bad companies out there that it's hard to see the good ones. And if you're a newbie, how can you tell the difference? You know, you can't. The reason why I was able to tell the difference at that point is that I've been through 14 companies, and I sat down. This is not working. Let me try to figure out first of all what I need to do, but also second, what are the companies that actually succeed in the long term? And I'm very analytical. So I start down and analyze the whole history of network marketing. And I found about 6 to 7 different indicators that you had to look at.
So for this is useful. For someone who is actually looking at network marketing, how would you say judge it?
Okay, so this is many years ago that I did these indicators. So I'll see if I can remember most
of them. But they can't have changed. I mean, to me,
it's the same. Yeah.
Go on.
So first of all, it cannot be a completely brand new company, right? It has to be at least 5 years old, because the death rate of network marketing companies, and that's the problem. Lots of people think you got to get in from the beginning. That's a complete fallacy, like an utter and a complete fallacy, right? No, if you go in from the beginning in a new company, you're almost certain to die with it. Because the death rate in traditional businesses are very high, but the death rate in network marketing companies are, I can't remember if it's about 100 times higher than a normal company. Like, it's ridiculously high. right? So if you choose something that is less than, let's say, 4 or 5 years, you're almost certain to go down.
Right. Okay.
So that's one of them. The other one I would say, I wouldn't choose a company that's, for example, is 30 years old that everybody knows about, because there is, it's kind of harder to grow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but most importantly, it can be an old company, but they have to have growth. There has to be momentum, right? If you get into the momentum phase, a company that is, let's say, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, 10 years, and they're in momentum, that's kind of the perfect company to join. Mm. Then it has to be consumables, right? It has to be consumables. And if you look at which companies have succeeded in the industry, historically, it's the wellness and anti-aging companies. There's practically no other companies that succeed. And I could do a whole seminar of why that is so, because it's not a, there's a lot of similarities to a normal business, but there's also a lot of differences. So just bottom line, it has to be wellness and anti-aging. Okay. So those are the three.
Well, those are two things that the humans want to constantly change. They want to stay, they don't want to get old.
Yeah.
And they want to stay healthy, and they want to stay healthy, but they don't want to give up on what they've already been doing. So consequently.
True, but that's more traditional market indicators. Like what we network marketing, what it really is about, it's not about just selling products. It's not just about finding a product and that fits into a good niche and all that kind of stuff. What it's about is creating almost like a cult, right? Ah. You create a community. And for that to happen, for that to have glue that holds that community together, it has to be something that is bigger than yourself. It has to be about changing the world, making a difference. If it's just saving you 5% on your phone bill, it's not something that people get really, really passionate about. That's actually a good point here in your passion show. So it has to be something where people feel that they are really, really part of something bigger than themselves. And that's, when you have one of your friends' kids that has asthma completely reverse their asthma, or your own kids or yourself, you tend to be very, very passionate about that and almost to an evangelic level.
Yes.
Right? And that's really what's needed for network marketing.
That's
companies.
Why Herbalife was so good, I guess, because it did the same. It did those things.
Sure. I mean, I actually lost 12 kilos with Herbalife.
Yeah,
I was super passionate.
So, all right, network marketing, where was the passion in it for you?
For me, it was in the beginning, it was all about creating the freedom of getting away from boredom and being able to travel the world. And also later on, I found that, my God, this is really making a difference for people. And then I felt how good it felt to actually make a difference to other people. Like, people coming back say, thank you so much for introducing me to this product or the business. And I saw my people starting making money and completely changed their life. So that was the passion for me, creating the freedom for myself, creating the freedom and choice for other people as well.
Mm. They all talk about that. Every network marketing presentation I've always been to, they always major on freedom
absolutely.
And I guess that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
So, okay, you built this into obviously you were very, very good at this, because as you said, you ended up with a 10,000 people downline. That mm-hmm. probably should have set you up for life, I'd have thought, wouldn't it?
except I was stupid.
Oh, well, we can't help that.
No. Oh my God.
Those things happen.
So my stupidity came into, this is how it was. Like, I thought, okay, wow, now because I have the biggest team in Europe, at the peak, we're putting 500 to 700 new people into the team a month.
Wow. Yeah, as I said, you were made, weren't you? You had everything going there.
Absolutely. And then,
as for their listeners' benefit, what does that mean in putting a new teams in? I mean, that's money coming into the system. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I mean, just imagine that you had 500 to 700 new clients or customers in your company every month.
And what are they going to spend those new customers when they arrive?
I would say on average, probably about £200.
Okay.
Yeah, probably an average.
Yeah. And you're going to get all. You're not going to get all of that. You're going to get a bit of that. But
It's not just about what you get that month. Is that lots of them, they will stay and then they will multiply, right?
So even if you got £1 a month out of them every single month for a year,
yeah,
a significant amount of money.
Sure. Sure, absolutely, absolutely. So I thought, well, now I'm a hotshot and I know everything, so I want some new changes and, you know, challenges. And so I sold that position, and because I became overconfident, and then everything just fell apart for me. I mean, it was literally ridiculous. So the first thing that went wrong is I sold that business with a little bit of money up front, and then 20% of the income for 5 years. Okay. The problem was that the people that took it over, they ran it into the ground really quickly. Right. So suddenly I was getting, instead of, my plans was that I had at least the 20% would pay me my rent and my basic costs and everything, that I can live anywhere in the world in a decent place. And suddenly I had 20% of 400 pounds or something like that. it was just ridiculous. So and then I invested the chunk of money that I got up front and invested in some stuff that went belly up. Some of it was scams. And then I was broke. And I was in Dominican Republic, living in a beautiful waterfront property, and completely running out of money. And that was probably the scariest time in my life. Well, second scariest time in my life, actually. Came back to England, had a little bit of money in a safety deposit box, £2,500, literally, and restarted my life with that. And the next couple of years was the hardest in my life ever. And I went through many, many situations where I was just so scared, and all that stress just completely destroyed my health.
What sort of age were you? Sorry to ask that question.
So this is what we're talking about. So this was 2009. I came back to the UK. Okay. Right. So this is what 11 years ago. So yeah, okay. I was just at the beginning of my 40s.
Okay. Which is a transition point in most people's lives anyway. There is that, yep, midlife crisis starts to hit around that sort of time anyway. And having that, yep, at the same time, that's a bit of a double whammy, really.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's really hard to hit the bottom when you've been on its top. I think you know, you hit the bottom in any case, it's hard, but when you've been on the top and you compare, you know, I was constantly comparing my life. You know, I had a beautiful girlfriend in New York, I was traveling the world, I was respected and loved everywhere I went, people just appreciated me and never had a worry. That just an amazing life. And then suddenly you're just there just fighting for life. And I started to beat myself up severely, right? I was like, how can I be so stupid? I used to have such a great life. How can I give that up? Why can't I seem to get things together now? It was horrible. And I became very, very sick, like very, very ill. Food intolerances, chronic fatigue, brain fog, all kinds of shit happened. And then I started getting anxiety because I couldn't work. I was always out of energy, and now finances are crap, and then my energy and my health is falling apart. So I started getting anxiety and depression. So that was some really, really tough years. Mm-hmm. Thankfully turned it around, started turning around about 3 years ago. And, you know, the community is growing now with the second biggest business meetup group in the world.
What was your way out of this? How did you, I mean, obviously what pulled you out of that rock bottom?
All right, it's kind of a long story, but bottom line is I found out that what can happen is if you're under stress, like in tremendous stress for a long time, and there could be actually physical stress, like you can, it could be physical exhaustion as well. It can also be chemical exposure. It could be an accident you're in. The limbic brain system goes into kind of an overload and starts to become oversensitive, mm-hmm, and starts to basically see danger everywhere.
Yeah.
And in that process, it can make faulty connections and say basically, oh, it's your food that is bad for you, right? And you start actually creating intolerances. And so I went to a seminar a couple of years ago in Canada with the purpose of basically rewiring your brain to suddenly accept all this food again, to not be weak, and to not be oversensitized to danger, if you will, right? Which, yeah, it's quite amazing, like literally amazing. So I can eat a lot of the foods I couldn't used to eat. I never have depression anymore. Anxiety is down to maybe 3% of what it used to be. So it's quite amazing.
Okay. Amazing. Well,
as well as the energy is coming back, and the strength and the mental clarity and all that kind of stuff.
I was watching a virtual event recently called Proven, and they were talking about all some of the kind of things that are alternative things that are proven. And one of the stuff that was amazing is how important the gut is these days, and mm-hmm. gut health.
Yeah.
And they were saying a lot of these autoimmune diseases are caused by the gut leaking. So our food yep. leaks through the gut wall into the bloodstream, and the body exactly. sees it as an enemy and starts attacking it. And goes, oh, in a minute, that bit of spinal cord looks just like that. That must be an enemy. So it starts attacking the body as well. It's like fascinating. Mm. And people have just been cured from all sorts of autoimmune diseases yeah. just by getting their gut sorted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then lots of times the people that can't really fix the gut, it's because there is stress and emotional issue yeah. behind it. Yeah. Right? Because the hormonal system can actually, if your hormonal system goes out of whack, it can destroy your gut.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. There's so much. Well, what amazes me is how the medical community and profession is so focused on a very narrow aspect.
They have just no clue. I was so disillusioned with it. I mean, I went to so many tests and say, your health is fine. And then they said, oh, but you're fat. You should, you know, I mean, they didn't say that, but you should lose some weight. And it's like, you know, tell me something I don't know. I have a freaking mirror. I can see I'm fat, right? Tell me something I don't know.
I can't eat any food. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So anyway, back then, by the way,
you obviously had something that started to pull you out of this. So what was the big idea that allowed you to move forward?
Well, it's kind of a weird experience, actually, kind of a spiritual thing. So I heard that that hypnosis cured IBS, right? So again, I had lots of problems with my digestive system. So I thought, well, let's try hypnosis. And that was kind of led me to think about whether it had to do something with my emotional stress.
Yeah.
And I bought a training program, a self-hypnosis training program. And one morning I was doing these self-hypnosis things every single morning. And one morning I went into a very deep trance. And in that, I saw this guy sitting on a bench. Okay. And I approached him and said, who are you? And he said, I'm Ram Dass. And I said, are you really Ram Dass? And he said, yeah, I'm really Ram Dass. And then I woke up like just like that. And it's never happened to me before that I went so deep in trance and then suddenly out of it. And at that point, I heard the name Ram Dass, but I honestly didn't know who he was. I heard it. Went to YouTube, Google, found out that he's a spiritual teacher. Start listening to some of his stuff. And here's where the weird things come in, okay? Now, that day, that audio I was listening to was all about living in the present, mm-hmm. okay? And then when I started finding out who is Ram Dass, he became famous. So he was a best-selling author of a book called Be Here Now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is just insanely like what a coincidence, or maybe it's really some kind of a spirit or forces that are speaking to me or whatever.
It's a bit of unseen guidance there, perhaps. Yes.
It was just amazing. I mean, like, and I started to study this guy and I found out, wow, there's lots of wisdom in it. And that's kind of what opened my eyes to, like, it could be the stress and emotional issues that was actually killing me. And it was. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a very, very first start to that discovery that your brain, I can actually change my brain. I can control my brain. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable changes that has happened with my brain over the last couple of years.
Amazing. Well done.
Yeah.
I had some great feedback when I broke one of the shows into two pieces. So I will do the same with this one because it makes it easier for you to listen to being in a shorter chunk. If you would like to catch up with Patrick Powers, you can find him on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, and also on the Meetup group. If you want more details about that, check out the second show because the full details and connection stuff will be there, or go to the website at Life, Passion, and Business.